All right, here we go. We ready?
Yep.
I guess.
Unless you remember.
Welcome to M Vibes Podcast.
Pump up good music,
good libations,
and good vibes. Hello, and welcome to M Vibes Podcast. Ooh, what is that? What are we listening to? Season 4, episode 10. As of right now, it's still episode 10. It might change later. Who knows? But as of now, it's episode 10. We're back here at our home sweet home, Tommy's Pub. And I'm actually drinking something new tonight, Mike. Normally, I drink Magners, but they got some new cider on tap, man. They got Noble Village Tart on tap.
Dude, that sounds good.
It is. It's very good. It's a slightly sour cider. It's good. From Asheville, North Carolina. So if you're ever up there, they have two locations. They actually serve me too, so check them out. And my home sweet home, my old friend while I'm here, Jameson. So what are you drinking, Mike?
I've got a Highland Pilsner tonight.
There you go. Yeah. Another Asheville beer. Yep, or Asheville type thing, yeah.
Yep.
How about you, Ernie?
I am, let's see, let me get on mic here. I'm drinking the Pilot Brewing Trappist Single.
Huh.
So,
is that a Belgian single or?
Well,
Belgian.
That would
such
be
a thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's okay. ankle, double, yeah. Triple, quad. So I didn't know you could use Trappist.
Me either.
On your beer, unless you were a monastery, Belgium. But yeah. I ain't gonna tell anybody.
Nope. Anyways, we're back here at Tommy's Pub, home sweet home. We have a very good friend of the show, a very good friend of mine. As far as music goes and music taste and shows and whatnot, myself, this is Mike Thrower, very good friend of mine. We've seen a million shows together. We have the same musical taste, same kind of background as far as things go musically wise. We both work in the HVAC industry too. So, yeah, we have a lot of shit in common, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on tonight.
It's awesome.
Awesome.
We tried this once before, and it was a train wreck, so we're doing something a little bit different tonight. Something I've been wanting to do for a while, a show I've been wanting to do for a while, on a very talented artist. We did a Mike Patton episode, I think season 2, and it went very well. But this guy tonight, we're going to talk about Les motherfucking Claypool, one of the best bassists I think of all time, widely known for, you know, man, this is gonna take a while because he's got a lot of projects, but man, I don't know where to start. We'll just start. Les Edward Claypool, born September 29th 1963, so he's only 10 years older than me.
Yep.
But he's done a million more things than I have. So cheers to Les Claypool.
59.
Yep. Yeah, I turned 50 here soon. So stay tuned for a party at some point. We'll see what happens. He was born in Richmond, California, out on the West Coast. Best known for lead singer and bassist of, we all know, Primus. Great band. Have you ever seen Primus, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I've seen Primus probably 5 times.
Yeah, I've seen him once.
Saw Sausage one time.
Yeah. Which was cool. I see my sausage every day, but it's more like bologna.
TMI.
He's been in Primus since the band formed in 1984. It consisted of him and two of his best friends from high school. Les Claypool is considered to be one of the greatest bass players of all time. Who else would you put on that list as far as like greatest bass players? I don't know.
I mean, for that style, you'd have to put Flea in there for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, both of their styles are similar. less is probably a little bit more, you know, just out there, you know, mm-hmm. with his creativity. I mean, Flea is definitely Flea. And, but yeah, Les has done some cool stuff, you know.
Last time we saw Red Hot Chili Peppers here in town, Flea had made the comment that the after party was going to be at Pinky's. And he didn't say it on mic. He kind of said it in the background. We went to Pinky's after the show just to go have some beers and drinks. The place was closed by the time we left. There was a line at least a block long outside of people waiting to get in. And we're leaving. We're like, hey, guys, they're closed.
Yeah, too bad.
It was longer than a block.
Yeah, it was.
Too bad that Greg and Andy didn't get the memo, or they probably would have stayed open later.
Yeah. Well, they never showed up anyways, so whatever.
Good advertisement for Pinky's.
Well, it was that, you know, it was that background route from the airport to Bank of America Stadium. They probably drove past it.
Yeah.
Thought it looked cool. I mean, that's kind of a California look. They're like, wow, that place is awesome. We should go there afterwards, but.
A lot of bands would eat there that would play the Milestone and stuff over the years.
Yeah. Last time I was there, I had the only gluten-free thing on the menu was a bowl of Fritos with cheese on it. Yeah, I ate it. I was like, I don't know if I should eat this, but I ate it anyway. So take a risk. So less. Claypool style is known as what? Slapping or?
Yep, slap bass.
Slap bass. I've seen him. Well, you said you saw him. I saw him, I want to say Ozfest 98, maybe 99. No, it was 98. And when they played, they had Buckethead with him. So that was a cool set. That was the last time I saw System of a Down, too. So, yeah.
I think the first time I saw him was like, one of the Lollapaloozas. I can't remember. I did a lot of substances back then, but I know I saw him on one of the Lollapaloozas.
I've never attended a Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed back then. Or that, and I think I was graduating high school in 92 when it was getting big. And after that, I was just broke. I was on drugs, so I didn't have any money.
We were on drugs at Lollapalooza.
I think everybody was.
Yes. Try watching the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow on Three Hits of Acid.
I've seen him here. He sticks nails through his tongue and all stuff. Yeah.
Swords, all kinds of stuff.
So Primus, 1984, Les Claypool. Larry, who also played in other groups like the Possessed and Blind Illusion. And he also collaborated with Tom Waits and I can never say his name right. Serge Tankin from System of a Down.
Oh, yeah. Sergi.
Sergi, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the drummer Cherub Alexander, who played with a Perfect Circle.
Right.
So that's probably why they opened for him that time, you said.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So Primus did a tour with Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
They played the Old Hornets training facility.
I was there, but I didn't see Primus.
I think that's what it was. I know Perfect Circle played that show, but I know I saw Primus there one time.
Yeah, I saw them there. I've seen Perfect Circle twice. First time I saw them, they opened for Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
And Maynard started jerking off on stage.
Nice.
And I went and got a beer. So I said, all right. Well,
right.
It's time to go get a beer. Primus's debut album was called Suck on This, 1989. It was out on Les Claypool's first album, first record label called Pawn Song, and was later reissued by Caroline Records. He borrowed $3,000 from his dad.
Wow.
To fund this recording of the album. Once he got back his money, you know, he paid back his dad, but all the money they made off the album sales, they just pressed more and more records off. I think you've got that first one on there, Ernest, if you don't mind playing that. There you go. Yeah. And you know, I've been jamming out the Primus for like a week because I've been doing like hard research. God, I have like 20 pages in this fucking book about Primus. There's a bunch of shit I was sleeping on for a while, man. Primus has some good shit.
Did you ever hear the record they did, Miscellaneous Debris?
Yes.
So I love that, like, Something About Nigel, Have a Cigar, all that that's on there. So good.
Carolina Records also released their debut studio album, Fizzle Fry. So the album that they put out was live, the first album that they put out live. And there's a bunch of songs off of that that continue to spread out on their other albums, their other studio albums. So more puppies and a bunch of other stuff.
I wonder where they recorded that live album. Do you know?
It didn't say, and okay. I looked. I should try and find out that. Fizzle Fry came out with the first version of Too Many Puppies,
right?
Which ended up in a bunch of other albums. They did different versions of this song a lot. So
right,
I would almost consider them like a jam band, but of like funk metal.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the guitar riffs are killer. You know,
like them and Fishbone, I think would be a great show.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Les's voice was always fun.
So with all this, it gained them a good underground success, which gained the interest of Interscope Records and launched them into mainstream platinum success with Jerry was a race car driver.
It was all over MTV and all that stuff.
I'll never forget. I bought the X Games compilation album, and that was on there. It was that Ministry, House of Pain, Red Hot Chili Peppers. What was the one punk group on there? They did a cover of Tainted Love on there. I want to say it was CIV, but it wasn't them. I forget who the hell it was. I love the song though.
I do too.
It jumps so goddamn fast. Never did win no checker flags, but never did come in last. Jerry was a race car driver,
he'd say else I'm number one. We would listen to this and it would remind us of the dirt track in Gastonia.
So that album went platinum for him. Primus went on to released two more albums, Pork Soda and Tales from the Punch Bowl. And Tales from the Punch Bowl also came out with another big hit for him. My Name is Mud and Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver.
Oh, the video for that was so great.
Love the video for My Name is Mud.
Yep.
It was kind of creepy. It was they're like in masks and shit.
Yeah. The one for Winona's Big Brown Beaver was those crazy cowboy outfits.
Yes,
that
yes.
That looked like rubber. Those were great. And they had those weird faces, like those masks again.
Yeah. It was like a piggy face or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
My Name is Bird.
It's kind of funny because on some of these songs, they slowed everything down.
Well, that's funny because when we get to this part, the South Park theme that they did,
right?
They recorded it really slow at first, and they're like, we need this faster. They only paid, we'll talk about it in a minute, but they had to speed it up to make it the theme for the show.
Yeah. Right.
After that, Alexander left Primus in 1996 and was replaced by Brian Monza. And they recorded two more albums, The Brown Album and Anti-Pop, and a cover EP, Rhinoplasty. There we go. There's the first burp of the podcast. I know Primus just came through town last summer at friend of mine asked me to go because they were doing
Rush, weren't they?
So I thought it was just a whole show of
Farewell to Kings.
Yes, I thought it was just a whole show of Rush songs, and I was wrong. Yeah. So they did their first set was all Primus songs and all their hits, all their big songs. And the second set was all
Rush
stuff. So, yeah, I should have went, but I didn't. However.
I missed that, too. I kind of wish I would have seen it just because I'd like to see him do the Rush
stuff. Last summer, I was out of control with seeing shows, though. I went to everyone. I went to every show I could possibly attend. Not a bad thing. I had fun. So, you know, this year I'm kind of limited to what I'm going to. Next week, this week, I don't know when this will be out in two weeks.
Thursday
night, a legendary show I've been wanting to see for many years, P-Funk, Parliament Funkadelic with George Clinton, and opening for him, is Swan the fucking Fishbone.
Damn, that's going to be good.
I've never seen Fishbone, so.
I hate I'm going to miss that one.
Yeah.
I've seen Parliament a few times back in the day, but.
Well, it's advertised as their last tour.
Right.
So, I mean, we've heard Kiss has been saying that for 10 fucking years now, so.
Yeah, I'm taking my daughter to Knoxville in November to see Kiss for the last time. Yeah. You know, but we'll see. But Gene's getting pretty old.
So. Have you seen the videos of, like, Paul Stanley's hair getting caught on fire and him still singing?
Yeah.
I'm like, I think he's lip-syncing this a little bit, but.
He's like, oh, shit, my wig's on fire. Yeah.
I can't move from the mic because y'all get busted. But,
right.
I mean, I wonder how bad his head got burnt that night because, dude, it was up in flames.
Those dudes ran over and shot him with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. He's kept singing.
He knows the drill. Heaven's on fire.
You know what? Actually, Lick It Up was one of my favorite Kiss albums, and that was the album that took off the fucking makeup. So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those tours.
Is that the album where that song was on?
Yeah. Yep. I saw a lot of those 80s Kiss tours at the old Charlotte Coliseum in the mid-80s, and I was into punk, of course, but I'd still go see Kiss and
of course, man.
All the crazy shit. But, yeah, like the best was Paul Stanley's like broken mirror guitar, and they had him up in the catwalk with the lights on it.
Oh, yeah.
It was like this huge disco ball.
Oh, Kiss is a show, man.
Yeah, totally. Look, I'm taking my 12-year-old daughter just to experience it one time.
Just to see Kiss. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, my oldest daughter, Brooklyn, wears a Kiss shirt. And lately she's been in this trend where she's ripped all her shirts down the front. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it a bit. I'm like, well, you ripped that a little bit too far, kid.
Yeah. Right.
Don't wear that shirt anymore.
Sienna's got a Kiss Love Gun shirt that she made from an old iron-on that I found her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so she made it, but she wears it.
Yeah. Well, at least your kids know who Kiss is.
Oh, yeah.
When
they
wear their shirts, yeah.
Yeah, they totally know. I mean, shit, Wiley had a Cinderella shirt on.
Well,
speaking
of Kiss, that picture you have in your living room.
Yeah, so my daughter.
I wish we had a, you know, if you'll take a picture of that. And I'll post it on her site once this episode goes up. It's a picture, and it looks like my daughter's, and I'm sure to you it looks like your daughter's.
Right.
It's two young girls painted up, but like, isn't it Peter Chris and Paul Stanley?
Yeah.
Painted up with Kiss paint, playing with like toys or crayons or something.
Yeah, so they're sitting facing each other Indian style, and they're painting each other's face like Peter and Paul Stanley.
That picture to me, every time I see it, I grin. It's awesome.
My friend Kelly Keith, she painted that. Well, yeah. She's awesome. She's done a lot of album covers for people and things like that. She's
really
kind of a famous artist out of Charlotte here.
Yeah. Yep. So anyways, let's talk about one of Primus's famous things that everyone might know, and that's the theme for South Park.
Yep.
They had the guys from South Park, and I forget the names of the guys. They had $74 to offer Primus to make to make the theme for South Park. They sent them, I think, the Christmas episode, let them watch it, and asked them to make a theme for the show. So they did. And they said, if you don't mind playing that, Ernest. And they recorded it, and it was really slow. And then they, you know, they sent it to Comedy Central, and Comedy Central was like,
got to speed it up a
speed little it bit. Up a little bit. Yeah. And they're like, well, we only paid him $74. I don't think they're going to record it again. And Primus is like, I'm sorry, guys. We're not going to do it again.
So they, a freshman in college in 1989.
He tells the whole story.
And somebody took a friend from the Bay Area.
But they
band playing on sped it up. Packer Day.
And they redid it. And then they had to ask less
these guys
people
in the Bay
to go
Area,
back
three guys
and re-record
such a fucking racket. The weirdest music I've ever heard.
Vocals for
and
it. Because
thought,
what they had
fucking great. I love
sped up didn't match to the vocals. So.
Right, it probably sounded like a chipmunk.
Right, so they actually went backstage with them in
Primus, if you haven't figured it out.
Colorado before show, and they re-recorded the vocals for the South Park thing. Unfortunately, this is the only version that's allowed or that's on Spotify. So if you wouldn't mind like fast-forwarding like 10 minutes, because it's just a lot of talking, if you can. No?
And it worked.
You can't?
He's like telling the story.
And here we are.
It's only 6 minutes for the whole thing.
I'm standing here with a felt fish.
That is less talk right now, yeah. There he goes. See how slow?
Yeah, it's totally slow. Actually used definitely is better.
It's faster, yeah. But it was funny, you know, when South Park first came out, everyone was like, is that Primus? That Primus? And everyone was like, no, that ain't Primus. And lo and behold, it
was the first thing
Primus.
We thought was, wow, that's fucking amazing. We got our own Primus song. The second thing we thought was, that's a minute and 40 seconds. That's not an intro theme song. That's way too fucking long.
Yeah, so what they did is they said, you know, Comedy Central, they passed the buck right onto their bosses. So if Comedy Central says it's too slow, it needs to be a little zippity-doo, a little peppier. Can you guys re-record it? And, you know, we're out there traveling the world, doing our thing, you know, making that magic. And we're like, you know, come on, dude, you gave us $74. We're not going to go back in and re-record this thing.
Yeah.
Nope. How about you just take it and you speed it up?
Yeah. So we sped it up in Pro Tools. We crammed it down really fast. But when you do that with digital Pro Tools, the voice kind of breaks. So we had to go back and ask Les, please, can you re-record your voice? He was psyched about that. He was super psyched.
Which we did at backstage. When you sent one of your friends, we recorded it backstage at Fiddler's Green and...
true. In Colorado on tour.
And then it turned into this.
Turned into this.
There you go.
Yep, see it faster. Yeah.
So anyway, after this, Primus took a Primus broke up in the year 2000. So let's rewind just a little bit to the year 1986 when Les Claypool tried out for Metallica.
Metallica, yeah, that's right.
And that was right about the, that was in between of Ride to Lightning and Master of Puppets, right?
It was when Cliff Burton died.
Yeah. So Les tried out for the band. They, you know, they're like, well, you're really talented, but you're not the right fit for the band. Les was, prior to that, he was a carpenter. Mm-hmm. He thought he'd be done being a carpenter, and he'd be on tour in Japan with Metallica, but didn't happen. If you want, mind playing some Master of...
Didn't he try out again after Jason Newsted left?
No, he was going to, but they were like, nah.
Scott Reeder from Caius did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, from that was the original Queens of the Stone Age, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Scott Reeder tried out for Metallica at that point. Probably was pretty close.
Queens of Stone Age to me is one of my favorite bands of all time. And I don't know where to quite place them. They're not like, I mean, they're rock, they're pop. I mean, they just have a good groove for them, man. I can't not dance when I go. Last time I saw them, they headlined one of the nights at, I think the last Carolina Rebellion that they had in town. And God, that was a great show, man. I was dancing my ass off.
Yeah, the last time I saw them was the amphitheater beside the Fillmore. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
I hate I'm going to miss them in a couple weeks when they come through, but I'm not going to be able to get
them.
They're
playing Asheville, though, right?
Yeah. They are. They're playing Asheville and Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't always get the good shows here, but oh, well.
Yeah. Got to drive a little bit. I mean, I'm used to driving a couple hours for some stuff.
But anyways, Clay did not get the job. Jason Newstead did, which Jason has since left the band. You're right, though, because they were kind of asking him to come try again, or people thought he would come try again, and he's like, no, Robert's a much better replacement for Jason than I am. Robert, if you don't know his history, he played for Ozzy, and then the most notable band was Suicidal.
He played for Suicidal for a long time. I can't remember if he played with Infectious Grooves too or not.
I think he did. Yeah.
Robert's awesome. His son is like a killer skateboarder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and musician.
Last time I saw Suicidal, I got a Charlie horse in my fucking leg, and I was I couldn't walk for a week. Some dude came up and just nailed me in the fucking. And they were doing what song was that? Something to skate. The fuck.
Oh, possessed to skate.
Yes.
Yeah.
They started that song, and some dude came up, jumped up in the air, and gave me a Charlie horse with his knee in my. Goddamn.
Dude, that first Suicidal record is still tops. Yes. I mean, it's hard to beat.
I love Suicidal Tendencies, dude. So in 2000, while Primus was on a break. Les Claypool's Fearless Flying Frog Brigade.
Right.
With members of Primus, The Grateful Dead, and Bob Weir.
Yep.
It was described as King Crimson meets Pink Floyd meets Frank Zappa. They released a two-album set. The first album was all their... studio stuff, and the second album was a complete cover of Pink Floyd's Animals.
Right. Yeah, that was cool.
And then they also put out a second album in 2002 called Purple Rain, which is not the same as Prince. Also in 2000, which is one of my favorite Les Claypool bands that he formed, Oysterhead, which is Trey Anstiano. I can't ever say his name right.
I can't either.
From Fish, and Stuart Copeland from The Police. The band was formed because a jazz fest in New Orleans asked Les Claypool to form a super group for the jazz festival. So he formed them. They played the festival. It was doing good. They were going to tour twice. Now, this is what's fucked up. They were going to tour twice. So they were going to tour in 2001, but 9/11
happened. Yep.
And then they were going to tour again in 2020.
Oh, COVID.
And COVID happened.
Oh, shit.
So they never
It just wasn't meant to
they
be.
They never got a chance to tour, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. But that was a cool album. I'll never forget. I got a promo copy of that. And I loved it, but my neighbor who lived upstairs from me was a big fan of Fish. Mm-hmm. So I went upstairs and I gave him that copy of it. And I'll never forget, we live in an apartment complex with 1,000 other people. And he opened up all of his doors and windows and blared this whole album. He played it for hours, dude, over and over and over. It was awesome. And then one of my favorite Les Claypool groups, Duel to Twang. We opened up with their cup. It's like a country bluegrass feel, But they, we had opened a show with their cover of Alice in Chains, Man in a Box. But yes, this right here, the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. This is awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
This is awesome.
The Super Suckers did a really cool country album.
Did they? Yeah. Well, they're kind of country anyways. So
yeah, they're like rock. I mean, hard rock. But yeah, they did a specific country record. And then the Ween country record is really awesome. And Ween's on the road right now. Which they were coming close by.
Oh, man. The shows that come through town.
Somebody help me.
So that album was recorded with Les Claypool's favorite friend from high school, Brian Keno. Album 4 foot tall, 4 foot check in 2014, mostly covers, 1996. So we're going all over the place. So he went back and forth. Les Claypool and the Holy Mackerel. In the mid-90s, played almost all. Les Claypool played every instrument on the album himself. But when he went on tour, there you go. And this is the second song that he used for the South Park episodes. We'll be waiting and we'll take the power. There we go. When he went on tour, he brought, you know, guys who would take place because he couldn't play all the songs himself.
Right.
And then after that, in 2006, one of my other favorite Les Claypool bands was Colonel Claypool's Bucket of Bernie Brains, which was Buckethead.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
What? Well, I'll say this. So, you know, from
there we go.
From Primus being in the Bay Area, I know there's a documentary on the Gilman Street Club in Oakland. And, of course, Operation Ivy, Green Day, all these people came from there. But Primus used to play at Gilman Street early on, too.
Les also did a bunch of films. He was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Journey. He composed the whole soundtrack for him. He was actually in the film.
I didn't know that.
Yes. He actually did one called Pig Hunt. He was in the film. He did the soundtrack for it. And there was one more movie that he did. I can't recall what it was, though.
No, I didn't know he did that with Bill and Ted.
Excuse me.
Didn't he also do that bass line intro for Seinfeld?
No, I was actually just talking about that the other day.
Oh, really?
So that was a guy that used to play in Steely Dan. I can't remember his name, but yeah.
I'd always heard it was Les Claypool.
I thought it was Les Claypool, too, but they were saying that it was a guy that played with Steely Dan that did it.
Hmm. Invites podcast. What's up with that?
You know.
Yeah. One of the greatest sitcoms of all time. I was in a pool.
Yeah, you can't mistake that.
No.
The bass line of Seinfeld, you know. Yeah. I can't remember who was in Sausage with Les Claypool, but I did see them one time. That was pretty cool.
See, I didn't find
it. It might have been the guy from Space Hog, I think. I can't remember, but I did see Sausage one time. I actually have the flyer still for that show somewhere.
Sausage. Hold on.
Yep.
Let's look up Sausage.
Sausage is the original lineup of the California Bay Area group Primus.
Huh.
Like Primus, the group led by bassist vocalist Les Claypool, yet his playing doesn't dominate the band like it does in Primus.
Okay. So it's Primus, just not called Primus.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that it was just maybe something different, but that's how I saw him was billed as Sausage.
Tangled here.
Sausage. There's people. Other fucking dances. Better.
Possibilities. I don't know. His bass sounds pretty dominant there to me.
Yeah. It's so cool that he didn't use a pick, though. It's all his fingers. It's all his hands.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he was in Metallica and how much different Metallica would sound right now?
Oh, yeah. It'd be totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's almost like metal funk right there, dude. Mm-hmm. Well, all of it was anyways, so yeah.
Right.
Anyways, I think that's it for the week, man. Not much more to talk about.
All right, episode. That's good for me.
We're wrap. Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you. Please drop through.
I mean, there's not much else to talk about, man. What else happened?
Besides, my left ear is killing me.
Ernest has a ear infection.
I can't hear anything on my left ear.
Earache my eye. Classic Cheech and Chong.
No, it's my ear.
Yeah. I love Cheech and Chong. I think I've talked about this before in the podcast. The first 15 minutes of that Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke are the greatest film cinema of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I love that shit, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're a fucking Antichrist.
I know Paul Reubens' Pee Wee Herman passed recently, and of course, he got his start with Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
As you know, he was in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was in Nice Dreams, and he was in. The one.
That's right. Yeah, and this
Mr. Lizard. Remember?
Yeah. And
I'm not sorry. I took your money.
Second film. Yes. Yeah.
Nice Dreams.
Yes. Yeah. He was the coke dealer, or whatever
yes.
it was.
Yeah. Yeah. They were all coked up in that club they were at.
back in 2010, my family and I went and saw Pee Wee Herman's. Playhouse on Broadway in New York.
That was cool. Awesome. Yeah. That's cool.
That theater, it was December, and the AC was on right underneath my seat. I froze my ass off during that show.
But nice.
It kept me awake to watch the show, though, so I guess that's the whole reason for the AC blowing in December in New York motherfucking city. Yeah.
Cold. You know, another little thing about Pee Wee Herman is Exene Cervenka from X and him grew up together in Florida, and they both moved to L.A. at the same time together.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Which X is coming to town.
I know, with the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Squirrel Nut Zippers. I've never seen them.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Matter of fact, last time I saw X, I was with you.
I know. Yeah and they were at theater.
Yeah.
That could happen again.
I think it might, because I got to go see Squirrel Nut Zippers. I've never seen them, so.
Yeah, one of my friends, guy I know, he was the original drummer for Squirrel Nut Zippers. He was in a North Carolina hardcore band back in the day called Subculture. His name's Chris Phillips.
Yeah? Yep. Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Yep. But, the X show will be good, for sure. Well, yeah.
August 19th, I will be out at... 760 Craftworks, spinning a 90s set that night. That'll be fun. I've been purchasing a lot of 90s stuff that I thought I had, but I don't have. Matter of fact, today in the mail, as I was leaving to come to the podcast, DJ Kool's Let Me Clear My Throat was sitting on the front porch for me. So
nice.
Can't wait to play that.
Now, is it going to be a mix of hip-hop?
Yes, it'll be a mix.
No. Punk.
Alt, punk, ska, and hip hop.
Yes. Nice.
Okay. And some R&B, you know, like Janet Jackson and Jodeci and all that
stuff. So that's all of the 90s?
I'm going to play every genre of 90s that I have.
There you go.
Now, what I think is cool is that trying to find 90s vinyl is very hard.
Yeah, it is. Days.
But I've been collecting vinyl since the 90s. So a very big portion of my 90s, of my vinyl collection, is 90s.
And I'm
this
looking
shit I've had since high school. So
I'm looking for a vinyl copy of Seaweed's Spanaway.
I don't have that.
Oh my god! It was on Hollywood Records, I think, at the time.
Disney.
Yeah, but it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they did press some vinyl, but dude, if you can find it, it's over $100.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to find a bunch of other stuff. Any Boston's records that were pressed in the 90s, dude, they're going for $200 right now.
See, that's when they need to repress some of that stuff, yeah, just to kind of calm that down a little bit.
Let's face it, which is one of their biggest albums.
Yeah.
Pressing of that on red vinyl, I think, now is going for like almost $500.
God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a big fan of the Boston's, but I'm not paying that much for anyone's fucking record.
I mean, the most I've paid for a record two records recently. One was the Accused import of Grinning Like an Undertaker.
Okay.
And I paid about $60 for that. And then, and I have two copies, by the way, because I was like, I wanted, when I saw it for sale, I was like, shit, I'm going to buy this.
Yeah.
And then the other copy I paid about $80 for is a sealed copy of Poison Ideas Pajama Party, which is all covers. And they do a cover of the Go-Go's We Got the Beat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is fucking awesome.
Which, by the way, you put me on to Face to Face's
Practices and Standards.
Dude, I listened to that NXS cover.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Oh, dude.
It's awesome. It's fucking awesome.
Trevor Keefe and Face to Face did all of their covers were so good. They did two of them. They did that one and another record that are just nothing but covers. And they did, you know, Chesterfield Kings, like all that stuff. I mean, you know, all the NXS covers, the Smiths, all that was so good. That's one of my, that was also a favorite of mine.
That's a great album. If I could find that on vinyl, it'd be epic. I don't think it's on vinyl, though.
One of the best AC/DC comps that's always a favorite of mine was put out by a dude in Baltimore, Chris X, that owns Reptilian Records. Mm-hmm. He's moved out of Baltimore. I think he's in Texas now, but it's called Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be.
Yeah.
And it's
great
song. And it's a AC/DC comp of covers, and it's got Zeke, REO Speed Dealer, The Upper Crust, The Chrome Cranks.
They do a cover of Zeke?
Yeah, like,
wow.
Yeah, Zeke does a cover of...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying AC/DC did a Zeke cover.
No, they're doing Zeke is doing an AC/DC cover, but like every song on that record is so fucking good. I mean, and it was, they printed it in vinyl. I found a vinyl copy on Discogs, but I always had the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, to me, like the Chrome Cranks doing Dog Eat Dog is like sick. Yeah. You know, I mean, such a good record. And then there were two other records that were on Small Stone that didn't come out on vinyl that I know of, but they were called Sucking the 70s, mm-hmm, Volume 1, and then Sucking the 70s, Volume 2. And those are all like rock and stoner rock covers of, like, I mean, everybody's on it. Five Horse Johnson, Suplex, all these people are on there. And that's another two that I wish they would put out on vinyl. So good.
Anyways, I think that's it for the week. We will see you guys later on. Adios.
Thanks for having me.
Goodbye.
All right.
I really thought that would take long.
Huge shout out to our gracious host, Tommy's Pub. Located at 3124 East Wade Drive, Tommy's Pub is a small neighborhood bar that's big on music and community. Go to Tommy's Pub's Facebook page, where they regularly provide updates about upcoming events to include weekly open mic night, karaoke, and live music from some of the best up-and-coming bands in the Queen City. Thank you, Tommy's Pub, for hosting M-Vibes Podcast.
We have a lot of interesting episodes coming up about music's most interesting topics, but we want to hear from you and what episodes you'd like to hear. If you have an idea for anything we should talk about, email us at mvibespodcast@gmail.com. This episode was produced by BWM Productions. If you like our podcast, please help us by rating and reviewing us on your favorite listening platform. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at mvibespodcast. Come on and join in the conversation.